Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
And ladies and gentlemen, here comes this little bitty old man with a long white beard kind of hobbling along on a cane, and underneath his left arm is that great big volume of all the historical facts that he's written about over the many, many years. Here is Dr. History.
Well, you're right about the beard getting white.
I know from experience. Mine is, too.
Oh, well, what the heck.
We can always hire out in December to be a Santa Claus someplace at a store.
I won't let it get that long.
Oh, okay. How you doing, anyway?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Well, good. Now, last week, we had a very interesting topic. You have never let me down on this show. I mean, all the way from, good heavens, naked mountain men all the way to somebody blasting a horse or whatever. You know, you're always having something interesting. What do we got this week?
Okay, I'm going to talk about a guy that nobody's ever heard about.
Oh, this is history at its best.
This guy's name is Hank Vaughn. Now, I'm going to do a little preface to him, and at that point, we can probably do that break that you want to do.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Well, sudden shootouts between men with itchy trigger fingers was not a rare occurrence in the 19th century, you know, the frontier towns of all over. But arguments during card games, business deals gone bad, or just plain grudges were all part of the mix. And weapons were as common, obviously, as horses and cowboy hats in those days, and they kind of favored the Sharps repeating rifle or the .45 caliber Colt, the Navy model, or the .44 Colt Dragoon, which was obviously a heavy gun. It was a 4-pound cannon, basically. You could pretty well stop anything in its tracks.
If you could hit it.
What's that?
If you could hit it.
You could hold it up, I guess.
Had you ever shot one of those guns?
I never have.
I have, and I'll tell you what, it's amazing to me that anybody ever got shot in the Old West.
Except maybe in the foot.
Yeah, right.
Well, when tempers flared among men packing six shooters, you know, gunshots were often followed. So, now, sometimes the gunfights were fair, and sometimes they weren't. Either way, they usually happened to be on the spur of the moment, fast, up close, personal. Now, sometimes an armed man would shoot an unarmed man, and there was always the black art of the good old bushwhack. And the law's response to gunplay was kind of varied as well, as we know. The survivor of a gun duel might find himself under arrest and in the local jail awaiting trial. If he could prove it was self-defense, he'd probably get released. Now, if not, a cell in the state penitentiary would probably be his destination. Now, on the other hand, if the deceased happened to have a lot of friends in town, well, a vigilante committee might just pay the jail a little visit, and with a little rope, a little conveniently located tree, they would take care of the whole business by itself, not wasting the government any money on trials. Now, on the other hand, in some of the wilder towns and mining camps, nobody really cared who shot who. No, it was no big deal.
So you mean that if you and I were walking down the street in those old mining towns and somebody didn't like us and they either hit us with a shovel or pulled out one of those great big cannon pockets, that might be the end of us and nobody care?
No. I mean, we're just a couple of nobodies. So, I mean, there's plenty of examples of shootings in frontier towns. Like over in Burns, Oregon, that was kind of a center for a lot of gunplay. There was a saloon owner from there that got, he was shot and killed over a dispute over a horse race. And then if personal relationships weren't enough, being an employer wasn't exactly the best way to be. There was a miner named William Kane. He shot his boss to death, dumped his body in a sluice box. It floated downstream, and what got him so agitated was that on payday, he found himself being handed paper money instead of gold dust. Well, he was arrested, tried for murder, convicted, and he was hung. So, now, one of the more famous Oregon frontier shootings was the murder of a guy named Peter French. Now, he was the overseer of one of the state's largest cattle empires. Now, in the process of gaining control, he'd made quite a few enemies among his neighbors, and he was known to fence off public domain lands and illegally acquire other property. Well, in 1897, French was directing a cattle drive on his property when a homesteader by the name of Ed Oliver came riding up to him at high speed. Oliver reined in his horse near French's, and they crashed the two animals into each other. The homesteader drew his revolver, shot the cattle baron in the head, and then turned and galloped off, leaving this guy laying dead.
Hmm. And now, all of that was because he forgot to bring back his lawnmower.
He forgot. Can you imagine? So, now, vigilantism could sometimes work in your favor. Now, this guy Oliver that shot French, he was initially charged with murder. It was later reduced to manslaughter. At the trial, it took the sympathetic jury barely 3 hours to find Oliver not guilty. So, you know, sometimes the vigilantes were your buddies. They were your friends.
Yeah.
Now, while most shootings tended to be a one-time event, there were a few people that kind of made a habit out of it. And that's where we're going to take a look at this guy named Hank Vaughn. Well, his career was kind of a mix of gunplay, murder, livestock rustling, occasional bouts of actually what seemed like pretty good citizenship. So he's kind of one of those good, bad mixes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was born in 1849. His family farmed and ranched. And anyway, the clan eventually moved out to a place called Canyon City in the Blue Mountains in gold country, where they supplied cattle to feed the hungry miners.
Okay.
And it was here in 1864 that Vaughn, who was now 15 years old, shot his first man.
Mm.
15 years old. Anyway, so the shooting involved a miner who actually bought a horse from Vaughn but couldn't come up with the full agreed-upon price. Now, observers say that at the scene they saw the two arguing. The next moment, Vaughn, perhaps a little encouraged by alcohol, again at age 15, went for his gun and shot this guy dead.
Wow.
That was his first encounter. Well, you know, the gold camps of that era were pretty rough places. And, I mean, shootings and fist fights were pretty regular occurrences. And since this place he was at was no exception, no one really cared if there was one less miner around.
Hmm.
And so Vaughn just went about his business as if nothing had happened. So, anyway, Vaughn's horse stealing and cattle rustling seemed to be his favorite thing. These habits kind of got him into his first real trouble. He and a friend of his named Dick Bunton had stolen some horses, and they were herding them over to Idaho to sell. Well, unknown to the two horse thieves, there was a sheriff by the name of Maddock and his deputy named Hart, and they had been on their trail. Now, locating the horse thieves' camp, the two lawmen sat tight under the until the hour was late, and assuring themselves that Vaughn and Bunton were asleep, they quietly stole into camp under cover of darkness. And approaching the tent carefully with their revolvers drawn, the sheriff suddenly called out to the two sleepers that the law had the drop on them and to come out with their hands up.
Oh, boy, this is where the plot thickens.
It's a little thicker here. Well, they came out all right, shooting as fast as they could shoot. Well, Vaughn shot the deputy sheriff, the deputy, killed him right off the bat. And Vaughn's buddy, Bunton, he fell dead from the sheriff's gunfire. Now it was just Vaughn and the sheriff fighting and shooting at each other.
Mm.
Well, one of Vaughn's bullets went through the sheriff's cheek, just as Vaughn was hit from the sheriff's return fire. Well, swinging the butt of his gun, Vaughn connected with the sheriff's head and put him out cold.
Wait a minute. How close were these guys if they're going to swing a rifle? I mean, are they shooting and missing from 2 feet away? What's going on here?
They're close. I mean,
well, duh.
Keep in mind, it's dark. So.
Well, yeah, all the more reason not to stand out in the middle of the lawn.
That's right. And the amazing thing is the sheriff survived the incident, and not without a little facial disfigurement, but, you know, like I say, he got shot in the cheek. Well, Vaughn, he galloped off into the night, but he'd been wounded. So he was traveling slowly because of his wound, and he was easily captured by the posse.
Uh-huh.
Well, he was charged with murder and theft. He was sentenced to life in prison, and while in the jailhouse, a crowd of vigilantes gathered outside with a mind to change the sentence to death by hanging.
Hmm.
Now, fortunately for Vaughn, there were apparently some people present who were able to calm down the mob, and they left. So, anyway, Vaughn was taken to the Oregon State Penitentiary, and because he was such a good guy, he was paroled at the age of 21. What's that?
You say he was such a good guy?
Oh, yeah. He got off because of good behavior.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, I think it's pretty easy to be good while you're in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Just a guess. So, anyway, after his release, Vaughn wandered down to Nevada. He works as a blacksmith. He drove the family cattle herd to sell to miners. And He may have also been involved in some illegal activities during his Nevada residency. Anyway, he eventually returned to Oregon in 1878. He worked with some partners named Moody and Hewlett in the horse trading business, and I use that term loosely. They typically traded in a mix of legal and illegally obtained animals. And the method of choice was just ride out on the range and find any, stray horses or cows. And, of course, the odds of getting caught were small. And they did have some close calls, and while corralling some stolen horses one day, Vaughn and his buddy Moody were set upon by a vigilante committee, but they managed to get away. Anyway, they sold their stock to miners in Oregon and Idaho, and anyway, Hank Vaughn eventually wandered into a town called Prineville, Oregon.
Oh, been there many times. Been there a thousand times.
Okay, I'd never heard of that, but anyway, he got into gambling and did a lot of heavy drinking, and it was here that he got into a kind of a famous shootout. Hank Vaughn had stopped at a saloon to have a few drinks. He got into a card game with a guy named Charlie Long,
mm-hmm.
who was also a gunfighter and also a member of the vigilante group. Well, Vaughn and Long played cards, talked, and drank, and eventually they got into a serious argument about which one of them was quicker and deadlier with a six-shooter.
This is not good.
And it finally came to a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where the TV version steps in.
I see.
Okay. Vaughn and Long laid their cards down, pushed their chairs back from the table, just like you see on TV. The two men each grabbed... Now, this is where you don't see on TV. Okay, the two men each grabbed one end of a long bandana with their left hand, then drew their pistols and began shooting.
Began shooting?
Right. Now, at such a close range, you know that every shot's going to hit somewhere.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, so Long pulled the trigger first. His slug hit Vaughn's scalp. Long shot again. This time it hit Vaughn in the left chest above his heart. Well, when the smoke cleared, both were wounded. Miraculously, not fatally.
Oh, wait a minute.
Both of them survived.
Stop just for a second. This is time for a commercial, but I don't have one. I've got a question. You mean to tell a bandana, when it's stretched out, maybe you're going to get one of those big, long buckaroo bandanas that maybe is going to be 3 feet in length. Now, these guys pulled out their great big pocket cannons, and they started going boom, boom at each other at 3 feet apart, and they wounded each other?
They wounded. I'm thinking they were probably jerking back and forth and dancing around it.
You think?
So they both recovered. However, you know, Vaughn was not a well-liked guy.
Well, imagine that.
And word traveled fast about that shootout. In fact, two of the newspapers reported that he had died in this, and they, in the obituary, they expressed that there was no real regret at the fact that he died. Well, Vaughn wasn't real happy with the newspapers, and he went and told them so. But anyway, one of his favorite pranks was to randomly pick out somebody in a saloon and invite them to dance for the crowd by shooting at the unfortunate guy's feet.
This guy was really not real bright. He was always doing something that's going to get him laid out in a pine box.
Yeah, yeah. And so he did have a little trouble with one of his practical jokes. There's a guy named Bill Falwell, and he wasn't going to dance. And he told Vaughn that, "I'm not going to do it." Well, that was a mistake on Falwell's part. So Vaughn began shooting, and sure enough, Falwell started dancing for the people. But now it was Falwell's move. He went down the street, traded his horse for a 50-caliber rifle, and the next day he went looking for Hank Vaughn.
Oh, boy.
Well, Falwell found him, and without a word, Falwell began shooting. He hit Vaughn in the chest and the right arm. Vaughn dived for cover. Falwell kept firing until all six shots were gone, and left Vaughn wounded and bleeding. Well, you're not going to believe this. Vaughn recovered from his wounds.
Wait a minute. Now, this guy's been shot 97 times.
And he's still alive.
This sounds like a Cisco Kid rerun.
We're getting to the end here. Vaughn liked to ride fast, so shooting up local landmarks and riding his horse into saloons was one of his favorite things. And now, one of the things he did do good, he was on a train one time when robbers burst into the passenger car. Well, Vaughn drew his revolver and began shooting. He killed one of the bandits and drove the others off.
Gosh, that was nice of him.
That was good of him. Now, another good thing or interesting thing here, Vaughn was married, and you might wonder about that, but that wasn't quite enough. He decided he wanted a second wife, so he took a Native American woman to wife, and she just happened to have a lot of money. And I'm sure that had nothing to do with why he married her. But he set up a very successful ranch, but he also continued his semi-legal horse trading.
I see.
Well, okay, we're coming to the end.
I can see he's coming to the end.
In kind of a surprising manner. One day, he got on his horse, dressed in his chaps, a little under the influence, galloped wildly through downtown Pendleton, Oregon. The horse stumbled, slammed him into the ground. Well, bleeding and severely injured, his internal organ injuries were mortal. He died, one of the last of the old-time gunfighters. His body was scarred with 13 bullet wounds, and he was buried outside of Pendleton, Oregon.
Frank Vaughn, or Hank Vaughn.
Hank Vaughn.
You know, now, I am going to be going up to Pendleton in the not too many more days, and where is he supposedly at his eternal resting place?
Okay, there's a cemetery called the Olney Cemetery, O-L-N-E-Y.
Uh-huh.
Cemetery. And okay. It says outside of Pendleton, so I don't know how far that is.
Well, I'm going to find out, and I would imagine with as many holes as he died with, 13 bullet holes, they probably got him buried here and a little bit over here and some over there.
And how the mortician managed to get him embalmed.
Holy cow. Yeah, but I mean, my goodness, 13 bullet holes in him, and then he dies in a horse accident.
Yeah. June of 1893 is when he died.
Wow.
June 15th.
He didn't sound like he was one of your real good citizens.
Well, he did help the people on the train, you know.
Yeah.
And he did help the economy by buying and selling horses and cows.
What happened to his family? Did he have any children or anything?
You know, it doesn't say anything about family or kids. It does, earlier I didn't mention it, that he had gotten married, but he married a sister of the McCartys. Now, the McCartys were kind of an outlaw family.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he married their sister Lois McCarty.
I see.
And that's really all it ever says.
So how old was he when he had that wreck up in Pendleton?
Well, let's see. He was born...
He was 15 when he started all this mess.
Yeah, he was born in 1849.
Oh, my goodness.
So let's see.
So rounded off at 1850, and what do you got? What year did he pass away,
1893? So
43, 45. Oh, man, that's young.
Well, it is, you know, but considering how many close calls you had with death, or 44, I guess.
Yeah,
he was.
Wow. So he was one of the last real shoot-em-up guys of the Old West, huh?
Yeah, this is, like I said, to me it's kind of fun to find guys that were probably as bad or worse than, like, Jesse James and some of those other guys that nobody knows about.
Yeah, my goodness, I'd never heard of that guy before.
Yeah, well, you know, they don't make movies about a guy named Hank Vaughn.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the passion to it at all. I mean, Hank Vaughn, you know, you got to have some of Jesse James.
Yeah, who was Crooked Nose Vaughn or Three-Toed Vaughn or I don't know.
Yeah, Big Nose Kate and all those, you know.
Yeah, you know, then it might have got a little attention, but Hank Vaughn, you know.
Well, that was an interesting story, but basically, yeah, you never been to Prineville, huh?
I never have. Where's that at? Is
Prineville's right in Central Oregon, and it happens to be the home headquarters for the Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wonderful people. I used to do that. The rodeo there, I did for about 14, 15 years, the Crooked River Roundup in Prineville.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And there's a lot of history up there. Oh, there's a lot of wild desperados in that area.
Well, this book that I picked up when I was over in Oregon is called Outlaw Tales of Oregon.
Uh-huh.
So this is pretty much true stories about the crooks, the culprits, the cutthroats, the guys like that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.